This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
Facebook continues to reign as a tech giant of the digital age, but don't call it a media company.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. All eyes and ears remain on the WSJD live conference in Laguna Beach, California. It's, of course, the meeting of the top minds in the tech world, hosted by none other than the Journal. And you can check out WSJD for the play-by-play of all the happenings. The Wall Street Journal's Christina Passariello spoke with Facebook's top leaders, Sheryl Sandberg and Chris Cox. They hit upon many different topics. One of importance was the news feed and where it's going. That scrolling feed is certainly a Facebook staple. Here, Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg talks the importance of this feed.
So everyone knows that your news feed is the people you connect to. And when sociologists think about our relationships, our ties, they think about close ties and weak ties. So your close ties are, you know, the 5 to 7 people you are in very close touch with, your mom, your partner, your child, people who Facebook doesn't change your relationship with them at all because you fundamentally know where they are and what they're doing. What Facebook does is strengthen your weak ties. Facebook does change your relationship and your awareness of your college roommate. Someone's nodding. I haven't talked to my college roommate in a while either, right? Your college roommate, the person from your hometown, the person who works at your last company. And because Facebook enables you to hear more voices in a day than you otherwise would hear, by far, Facebook actually broadens the number and the types and diversity of news sources you hear. And so in your news feed every day, it's not just one news outlet. It's not just 5 people. It's a much broader array. And on average, that means people are exposed to more views rather than less. We also are really proud of some of the things we've done in the election. So one thing that's very core to our mission is people voting. We believe in giving people voice. We've worked on this for 8 years in the U.S. So through the primary of this part of our election cycle and the general, encouraging people to register to vote, we've registered almost 2 million people, slightly over 2 million people so far. And it's also worth noting that of Facebook users, 50% are Democrat and 50% are Republican. And so we really believe that we can help people register to vote and increase political participation, and that will be good for everyone, not just in the U.S., but around the world. It's also really cool what's happening between elective representatives and people on Facebook. So every member of Congress now has a Facebook page, Facebook presence. That wasn't true a couple years ago, and increasingly they're using Instagram. Elise Stefanik is someone I admire a lot. She's the youngest elected member of the U.S. Congress. She's a Republican from New York. As part of her election, she made a public promise that she would post every vote, every controversial vote. She was going to explain it directly to people on Facebook. And she's been doing it. When she needs to explain a vote, she gets on Facebook and explains it directly to her constituents. And so that tie of giving people a direct way to hear from and communicate about and with their elected officials, we think increases transparency.
So by now you've likely noticed the continuing shift to video on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg has made his thoughts on this very clear. He says that in 5 years, video will be the primary way that people communicate on Facebook. Chris Cox, Facebook's chief product officer, explains why the company is so convinced in the power of video.
Well, so if you look at the industry trends, we're predicting that in the next 5 years, 70% of all mobile internet traffic is going to be video, which is insane. That's a huge amount of what we're doing, not just on video services, but across all of the different things that we do. So if you think about messaging, it's being able to quickly go from a voice call to a video call. If you think about Instagram, it's being able to create and share stories. We've actually started looking at this perennial product problem for phones, which is how do you make it easy for somebody to capture and create a video that's nice using a mobile phone? And this is something most of us today aren't super comfortable doing. It's hard to create something that you're really, really proud of. Instagram did a really nice job of making it easy for people to take a photograph and turn it into something that looked really good. Based on a paper that was published in Germany called Style Transfer. And Style Transfer lets you take an artist, like a Monet or a Rembrandt, and transfer the representation of the style of that painter onto any image. And this was using a new AI technology called convolutional neural nets, plus some cool computer vision stuff that lets you take a photograph and turn it into something that looks like Starry Night.
We'll leave you with this one final note, and one that Sheryl Sandberg wants to make very clear. As the company continues to grow, many see it expanding from technology to a media company. However, Sandberg drives home the point that Facebook continues to resist that label, even as it is getting more heavily involved in content.
Facebook's a platform for all ideas, and it's really core to our mission that people can share what they care about on Facebook, and that includes everything from it's my friend's birthday to, you know, here I am at this conference with my friend Chris, to things that matter to them in the news. We also want to be a really safe community. You know, there's no place for violence, terrorism, hate on Facebook. Now, that stuff sounds obvious. Like, of course, those two things are true. But those two things can come into conflict because one person's free expression can be another person's hate. As we've evolved, we know that people are sharing more newsworthy content on Facebook, and it's something we want to make sure we enable. And it can be hard. I'll give you an example that's been recently in the news, the very famous Vietnam Terror of War photo. It's a photo showing the atrocities of war. It's also a naked child. A naked child violates everyone's community standards. It comes down all over the world. And that's what happened. We took the photo down. It's a naked child. On the other hand, this photo is newsworthy. It has historical significance. And so the decision was made to put that photo back up. And you can see in lots of decisions that we're balancing these things. What we are saying is that we've made a decision that we will make exceptions to our community standards, and there could be no better or starker example than child nudity, for the benefit of newsworthiness. We're also evolving as a service, right? We started out as a college-only service. Now we've got 1.7 billion people around the world. And so we are in dialogue, and particularly right now with journalists, with publishers, to really figure this out and continue to evolve so people can have free expression on Facebook, but we also remain a safe community.
For more, you can check out WSJD.com to follow the very latest on WSJD Live. That ends this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.